the person who's been married, and the person who hasn't. Singer and actress Anna Maria Alberghetti qualifies in both departments, and she confided her informed opinions to Monitor's Jack Eigen.
Is there a big difference in your life now? I mean, when people say Mrs. instead of Miss Anna?
Well, no. There is a great difference in my life since I got married, because I'm happy now. And I ducked marriage for 5 years with the same guy.
Why did you duck marriage, Anna Marie?
Well, for the famous old corny line, you know, I saw all of my friends around me that had nothing but misery. And, girls of my age that already had one or two failures in the marriage, and one child by one daddy and another child by another daddy, and nervous breakdowns and all of that. And that's only part of the reason. The other reason is, I guess, as a performer, I had to get a lot of things out of my system. I had to grow up emotionally, which I did in every other way, except emotionally until very recently. And I looked at marriage, Jack, as a terribly serious, serious step. I know a lot of people say that, but I think very few really mean it, because I see too many people that know each other for such a short time and they rush into marriage and they think that marriage is going to solve their insecurities. You know, if they have some hang-ups, they're going to say, well, you know, once we get married, everything is going to be, you know, marvelous. Well, that's not so. If there is a tiny area of possibility of unhappiness, marriage and a little pressure is going to just blow that little microscopic problem up. As a result of it, I've been going with my husband Claudio for 5 years on and off. And finally, one day, I used to ask my married friends who are happy, I used to say, how do you know, when you really are sure about a marriage? And they say, well, you just do. And it's true, you just do. One day I said, this is it. And I'm very happy. And however, I'm not sorry that I went through all those trials, because I think we got all of our arguments out of the way before. And since we've been married, and we have differences of opinion like anybody, but, no big traumas, no big, oh, I didn't know this about you, and, oh, gee, I didn't know she would react this way. You know, we knew each other so well that everything has been great. And, of course, now I have a baby, so that really completed the cameo.
They say in order to have a successful marriage, you've got to work at it. It's hard work. And it's such a normal type thing to get married. Why do you think it's such hard work to make a successful marriage?
I think because I think most human beings are very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say you have to work, yes, you have to give, you know, it's like even in a plain friendship, you know, you have to give and take. And you can't say, I gave five, and am I getting five or six back? The thing is to give without expecting anything back. And if you do get something back, which in a good marriage you do, I think a good marriage is like tennis, you know, you just go back and forth.
Anna Maria Alberghetti expounding her views on marriage to Jack Eigen and proving that marriage isn't a lottery at all, because in a lottery, you get a chance, which might just have been the inspiration for the song coming up now by Perry Como, Stop and Think It Over.
Why don't you stop and think it over before you say it's over, because it'll never be over for me. Why don't you stop and think it over before you say it's over, because it'll never be over for me. Of all the happy times we knew, all the memories I shared with you. Why don't you stop and think it over before you say it's over, because it'll never be over for me. Don't walk out the door and say goodbye. What we had worth one more try.
don't you stop and think it over before you say it's over because it'll never be over for me.
I just don't know what I would do, darling, without you. What a cold and lonely place this world would be. If you leave me now, you hurt me so. Just for old time's sake, before you go, why don't you stop?
In case you want to set your watch, it's 17 minutes after the hour. Connie Francis and Al Capp straight ahead. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Brad Grendel back at the microphone for Monitor with an opinion coming up that will be applauded by everyone with a male relative in Vietnam from our social satirist Al Capp. First, let's hear from Connie Francis as she sings Born Free. Here's Al Capp, Monitor's expert on nothing, with opinions on everything, as he takes sides on the question of protest or participation in Vietnam.
Simon and Garfunkel are a couple of young men singers who've been protesting against injustice in recording studios in Hollywood, New York, and in concert halls all over. Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler is a singer, too. He's been protesting against injustice, too. But in Vietnam, in hand-to-hand combat, and for much lower prices until they sent him home seriously wounded. The other night, I was sitting around with Sadler, and the talk got around Vietnam. I asked him about the reports from Vietnam of those four traveling housewives and from Dr. Spock and such seasoned military observers, reports that the United States Army was fighting dirty and frequently injuring the Viet Cong. I hope so, said Sadler. I told him how upset millions of our nicest folks at home were when Senator Fulbright stated that GIs, those who survived combat out in the hills and swamps and were given a few days leave in Saigon, were spending their time. They were spending their time drinking hard spirits, playing cards, and going out with girls. If they don't, said Sadler, they should have joined the WAC. Somebody then put on a Simon and Garfunkel record, one of their greatest hits, a combination of Silent Night, Holy Night, and a news report. The effect was that of listening to two broadcasts at once. It also was designed to have a bitter, ironical effect, namely the contrast between the lovely old song and the ugly new America it was being sung in. Along with the sweet and peaceful music, the voice of the announcer reported such national tragedies as a speech by the president, the loss of Lenny Bruce, a nightclub comedian often arrested for obscene performances who'd taken an overdose of narcotics and died a victim of his own gluttony, and a shameful, unsporting investigation into communist influences which might destroy the civil rights movement. The point the song made, with the subtlety of blows by a hammer and a sickle, was that we lived in a hateful country. Does that song move you? I asked Staff Sergeant Sadler. It sure does, he said. It makes me puke. And this is Al Capp, who has a much stronger stomach than Barry Sadler, speaking to you on NBC's Monitor.
And now here's the voice of Steve Lawrence with a serenade to a lady we've been hearing a lot about lately, Sweet Maria.
Count each day when I go, then before you know, time will fly before your eyes and you will never realize I'm gone. Though we two have to part, I leave you my heart. Keep it close beside your own and you will never be alone, sweetheart. Sweet Maria, don't you cry. I can see tears in your eyes. So
personally, if I were married to Edie Gourmet, you wouldn't catch me singing a song about Sweet Maria, but, well, maybe he likes to live dangerously.
Martha, I dropped in this afternoon. Well, aren't you bright? Doesn't this humdrum housework ever dull your personality?
Busy mothers, women who can't afford to be dull, sharpen their wits with No-Doze. No-Doze Keep Alert tablets or new chewable mints, safe as coffee, help you keep up with people and conditions around you. So to fight off afternoon letdown,
sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze keeps you alert.
Roger Williams with Sweet Pea. This is Monitor 67, Brad Crandall here. In California's Imperial Valley, we're heard on station KXO in El Centro, California. Now, a word from all our NBC affiliates, and then more of Monitor.
Conrad Adenauer, His Life and Times, a new special Tuesday night on the NBC Radio Network.
Hey, hello. I'm Brad Crandall, your host for Monitor 67, where all during the weekend we've been paying tribute to the great maestro Arturo Toscanini, born 100 years ago yesterday in 1867. Just ahead, Ben Grauer will present a sound portrait of Toscanini, who lived until 1957, but who has already become a legend. First, the voice of Frank Sinatra with his new one, Change Partners.
Must you dance every dance with the same fortunate man? You have danced with him since the music began. Won't you change partners and dance with me? Must you dance quite so close, with your lips touching his face? Can't you see I'm longing to be in his place? Won't you change partners and dance with me? Ask him to sit this one out, and while you're alone, I'll tell the waiter to tell him he's wanted on the telephone. You've been locked in his arms ever since, heaven knows when. Won't you change partners, and then you may never want to change partners again. Won't you change partners, and then you may never want to change partners again. ¶¶
This weekend, NBC Radio and Monitor are commemorating the 100th anniversary of the birth of Arturo Toscanini, a maestro whose approach to music and style of conducting have left their impact on every man who wields a baton today. His unusual methods on the podium included singing parts of the score to his musicians and singers. Here is commentator Ben Grauer with a sound portrait of Maestro Toscanini as he worked.
Recently, at the Toscanini Archives in Riverdale, New York, I heard these words.
He had a raucous, unmusical voice. And yet, when he sang something, the dramatic meaning was so superb, it was so unmistakable, that you understood what he was trying to convey.
Edwin Bachman of the NBC Symphony spoke those words about Arturo Toscanini. And so, as part of the observance of the 100th anniversary of Maestro's birth in Parma, Italy, March 25th, 1867, we have prepared this brief sound portrait for you about a man who loved to sing at his work.
When the first orchestral rehearsal took place, after all the singers were well prepared by him, he asked all the principals to take a seat in the front row in 8H, and Maestro went through the entire opera, singing every part, the text, and such dramatic connotation that it was moving.
As Edwin Bachman suggested, Maestro Toscanini did delight in singing opera, even for world-renowned artists he had engaged to sing for him. In the scene to follow, he is on the stage of Carnegie Hall during a rehearsal of Verdi's Masked Ball. And in the section we're to hear, the Scherzo La Follia, Maestro tells the orchestra first to play elegantly, elegante, he says. Then, after he sings for a moment, he stops to demonstrate the proper way for the tenor to laugh.
La risata. Io faccio enormi capo.
The men in the orchestra enjoy Maestro's remark that while he, Maestro, can do the laugh properly, the tenor, or at least most tenors, do not do it so well. He then proceeds to give further demonstration of the proper laugh technique for the tenor to use in the scherzo La Follia. We have been paying a brief backstage visit to Carnegie Hall to hear Maestro Toscanini working with the members of his cast and orchestra as they rehearsed Verdi's Masked Ball, a sound portrait prepared for us at the Toscanini Archives in Riverdale, New York, as part of our observance of the 100th anniversary of the birth of Arturo Toscanini in Parma, Italy, March 25th, 1867. This is Ben Grauer for Monitor.
On the 100th anniversary of his birth, a picture of the great maestro at work, Arturo Toscanini. Now, music in a lighter vein, as Vicky Carr sings his song of disillusionment, Now I Know the Feeling.
Starting to think of the happiness that lies in store. The being wanted and needed and loved by someone more and more. I simply can't understand what my foolish heart was waiting for. Now I know the feeling of a lifetime. This wonderful glow of delight I never really believed in until tonight. Yes, now I know the feeling love can bring you. And I could purr like a cat that's so satisfied its whiskers curl. beat on the drum, sound the horns, and have the flags unfurled. It's like a party my happy heart's having with the whole wide world. Purr like a cat that's so satisfied its whiskers curl. I want to beat on the drum, sound the horns, and have the flags unfurled. It's like a party my happy heart's having with the whole wide world. Do do do.
You're listening to Monitor at 16 minutes before the hour. 3 minutes away, Monitor's Al Capp will be along with some serious advice to his friend Johnny Carson in the form of an open letter. So don't go away. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Brad Crandall here for Monitor and the Billy Vaughan Singers with a tribute to a Latin lady, Sweet Maria.
Now each day when I go,
before you get a chance to brace yourself at all, here's Al Capp, Monitor's expert on nothing with opinions on everything, with some professional advice for a friend.
It's one of the odd facts of life that people rarely take the advice of their friends, but the same people are apt to heed the words of strangers. Well, I have some heartfelt advice for Johnny Carson, but I'm so afraid he'll pass it off with a gag if it comes from me that I decided to put it in the form of an open letter in the hope that you out there will join me in preventing Johnny from making a mistake that could be fatal or worse. And so here it is. Open letter to Johnny Carson. Dear Johnny, I was one of those who saw the show the night Governor Rockefeller suggested that you run for senator against Bobby Kennedy. It happened to Bobby Kennedy, remember, when he tried senator? He said all he wanted was to serve his native state of New York, and I'm sure he was sincere at the time. But what happened? Now he wants to try for president, and what I say, Johnny, is let Bobby Kennedy be president. If you don't, he'll sulk. Signed, your pal, Al. And this is Al Capp saving postage by sending a letter by NBC Monitor.
It's always a pleasure to hear from somebody like Al who has such a thorough understanding of the way the world really is in television and in politics. Al Capp, with his built-in opinions, is a regular on Monitor every weekend. Now here's another vaudeville song, the new vaudeville band and Peekaboo.
Peekaboo, I do love you. You're the one girl for me. When I look into your eyes, I see my destiny. I said that I would grow much weaker, weather would be bleaker, if I spent a week away from Peekaboo. Peekaboo, I'm telling you, you're the girl of my dreams. Please don't walk away and put an end to all my schemes. Peekaboo, odi-odi-odo. Peekaboo, odi-odi-odo. Peekaboo.
Listen, with all deference to what Al Capp was saying a moment ago, what do you say we find the guy who writes their material and get him in politics, huh? Now here's a Monitor News special. For Americans who've been caught in traffic jams over this Easter holiday weekend, it may be some comfort to know that you're not alone. According to French motorists, they now have a brand new traffic problem that ranks with any in the world. NBC News correspondent Bernard Frizzell reports that story from Paris.
In any case, the unhappy fact is that the speedway this weekend was a bust. Parisians poured into it in such numbers that at the very outset there were colossal traffic jams. They were so bad that the buses transporting passengers to Orly Airfield took an hour and a half to get them there instead of the usual 30 minutes. As a result, many planes were delayed simply waiting for their passengers to arrive. But the worst came at the end of the speedway. At that point, cars would jam bumper to bumper for miles on end, because there were too few attendants to collect the toll for so many cars. The jam-up continued for additional miles because of the bottleneck where the speedway ran into the older, narrower road. As a result, those Parisians who thought they would get somewhere, perhaps an hour faster, were stuck in the middle of nowhere for as much as 2 hours, crawling toward a pay-toll station. They were understandably irritated. Many of them, in fact, were enraged. So much so that some actually threw their $2.40 at attendants. And others icily refused to accept the hard little candies offered them as a rather inadequate gesture of goodwill. This is Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Paris.
Well, I can just hear you saying that sounds just like, fill in the name of the superhighway nearest you, but they never even gave me a piece of candy. Camping in the orchestra, hold me. Right now, about 90 seconds before the hour, the program Monitor 67. And just ahead, NBC News on the Hour. I'm Brad Crandall.
See to the latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. From NBC.
Wetson's, for people who like delicious food. Yes, at Wetson's, you're sure to enjoy those palate-pleasing hamburgers, golden brown French fries, and Wetson's thick shakes.
All the critics agree, Africa Addio is shattering. There's never been anything like it. Now at the Forum 47th and 34th Street East Theaters. Living with Arthritis is the title of a new booklet published by the Arthritis Foundation, New York chapter. It's designed to help people with serious problems caused by the disease. The booklet explains how to seek help with housekeeping, job, financial, and other difficulties. It also discusses treatment and describes what the patient himself can do to overcome physical handicaps.
Big Town's all-night entrepreneur is Long John Neville, midnight to 5 on the Big Voice of Big Town, USA. WNBC, New York.